good morning. Holy smokes. Wow. Okay, so where else do you rock out like that at 11:30 in the morning? You should have seen the 9 o'clock crowd. They were like, their eyes open for the first time this morning. Wow. You know what? I was thinking about this. This song is called I Made a Mess of Me. This actually could have been my theme song as a teenager. Yeah, Scott, I made a mess of me, right? Anybody else? Just me, probably, right? No. Yeah. You're actually excited about it. Made a lot of messes when I was a teenager. Get rid of that. I don't need it. Okay. In fact, I'll never forget this one time. I got to tell you this story real quick. When I was about 16 years old, my mom had this she had this Toyota minivan that had like no front end on it. Do you remember those? Ugly as heck. And it's funny because that was sort of my vehicle to drive when she wasn't using it. And everybody thought I was a stud driving that thing around. And it's funny because, like, I wasn't allowed to be alone with my girlfriend, but I could take her on dates in the minivan. Yeah. Interesting, right? Yeah. And so anyway, I'll never forget one time I come home, I pull up in the driveway. I guess I was 16, pull up in the driveway, and I go to press the garage door opener, and I reach up, and it's gone. And so I thought, well, I probably fell on the floorboard. So I'm sitting in the driveway, and I start looking around and digging around for the garage door opener, and all of a sudden, I hear boom, and I crashed right into the closed garage door. Yeah, the good news is I did make it into the garage. The bad news is the garage was completely destroyed, and apparently what had happened is I was digging around on the floorboard, my foot went off the brake, and I didn't realize I was moving. And so anyway, so my parents were like a half a mile behind me, and I knew they were going to be pulling up, and I just saw it, so I backed the van out, disconnected it from the garage door, and I got out, I looked at it, and all of a sudden my dad and mom, they pull up, and my dad gives me that look that I saw so many times as a teenager, which was, oh, Jesus. Yeah. Yeah, a lot of regret over that one, like $700 worth of regret that day. Yeah, you know, we all have regret, don't we? All of us. You know, we've all made decisions. Sometimes, I think for some of us, maybe it's relational regret. Maybe it was a girlfriend or boyfriend regret. Maybe it was a marriage that we regret. Or, you know, maybe it was a friendship that sort of proved to be unhealthy in our lives. For others of us, maybe it's financial regret. You know, regretting that gigantic investment that went bad, or you know, as a freshman in college, receiving that first pre-approved credit card that just got us into a lot of trouble, right? Or for some of us, maybe it's even physical regret. You know, regretting not taking care of yourself, or regretting not eating right, or whatever it might be. We all have regrets. And you know, the interesting thing about it is that I don't think I've ever met anybody who actually planned or hoped that they would end up with regrets in their life. You know, I mean, I've never met a couple who, you know, as they're getting ready to get married and as they're walking down the aisle are thinking to themselves, hey, you know, this may only last for a year, but let's try it, right? Or better yet, let's have 3 kids and then get a divorce, because that's always nice, right? No. You know, I've never met anybody who you know, decided they're going to invest their I think I'm going to invest my life savings to only go bankrupt one day, right? Or no one plans to fail. No one plans to make a mess of their lives. But the question is, how many of us plan not to? Well, today we're starting a new series, and it's called The Ultimate Question. And I think this is going to be just a very significant series for us because, well, I mean, the fact is, every day we are bombarded with decisions, aren't we? I mean, we face decisions every day, some big, some small. I mean, we are all faced with choices. And unfortunately, many of the regrets, not all of them, but many of the regrets that we have in life can be traced back to what we now look back on and consider to be a bad decision at the time. Or even perhaps we knew it was a bad decision, but we somehow convinced ourselves that it was a good decision, right? I mean, I think we're pretty good, as humans, we're pretty good at deceiving ourselves, aren't we? I'll tell you what, I don't struggle with that whatsoever. I mean, it just comes naturally for me. I can deceive myself very well. I'm a good salesperson. I can sell myself on any idea I want to sell myself on, right? Anybody else like that? Maybe don't raise your hand, but just know inside, right? But no, seriously, I mean, I can justify. I can even spiritualize it. I can make it sound beneficial. I suppose if I try hard enough, I could come up with some sort of biblical evidence as to why I need that new iPhone or need that new car or need whatever it is, right? We're pretty good at deceiving ourselves. Or we think, you know, it'll be all right. I mean, this won't hurt anybody. Yeah, I'll only do it a couple times, right? I'll be careful. I can quit whenever I want to quit. It's all right. I can handle it. And see, so many of our greatest regrets began as choices or decisions that we convinced ourselves were good ones, but then unfortunately proved otherwise. And over time, we found ourselves with a giant plate of regret right in front of us. Well, thankfully, we aren't the only ones who have this tendency. As a matter of fact, if you have your Bibles this morning, I want to take you to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, if you have your Bibles, let's go there. If you don't have your Bibles, that's all right, you can look at the screen. But Ephesians is a first century letter written by the Apostle Paul. And it's a letter that he wrote to a group of Christ followers in a town called Ephesus. And he begins this letter in a very interesting way. He begins this letter by writing, don't put that scripture up yet, put that away. Okay, but he begins this letter by writing about the beauty of our relationship with Christ. In fact, he writes about things like who we are in Christ. He writes about how we're made alive in Christ. I mean, it's a very encouraging and very empowering. In fact, for three chapters, Paul expounds on what it means for us to follow Jesus. But then in chapter 4, it kind of takes a turn, and I want to show you what happens here. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1. This is what he says. Listen to this. I, therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, yes, he's in prison, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called. So what he's saying here, he's saying, in other words, okay, Paul's saying, look, I urge you to live your life in a way that's consistent with the changes that God has brought inside of you. But I urge you to live your life differently, to live your life in a way that reflects what God is doing on the inside of you. And then from there, what happens is Paul sort of launches into a very practical section, and he talks about everything from bitterness to sex to marriage, and parenting, and in fact, he gets very, very specific. He even starts to talk about what's permissible for us to think about, to talk about, even to laugh about. And it gets a little bit overwhelming, especially when he gets to this part where he tells us, he says that we should be imitators of God. Yeah, okay, no problem, right? I mean, hey, that's a good thing to try for, and that's a good thing to strive for, but hey, I know me. Be an imitator of God? Read it sometime. Ephesians 4, Ephesians 5. Well, what's interesting, and I think what ends up happening, is I think Paul knew that this would be somewhat overwhelming for us. And so he sort of sums it all up in Ephesians chapter 5. And this is really what I really want you to hear today. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15, he says these words. So, be careful how you live. Let's stop there for just a second. He says, so be careful how you live. It's almost like he says all these things, and then he says, so, or in some translations, I think the word is therefore. Therefore, with all this said, therefore, so. And what he does here is he connects the here's what to do with here's how to do it. And he ends up giving us, as you're about to see, a way to measure literally every single decision in our entire lives. This is what he says. Let me show you. Ephesians 5, verse 15, so be careful how you live. And let's read this next line together. Ready? Don't live like fools. All right, hold on. Together means together. Let's do it again. Ready? All right. I know. After that song, how can you be asleep, okay? Anyway, let's read this part. Don't live like fools, but like those who are wise. Read it one more time. Ready? Don't live like fools, but like those who are wise. Don't live like fools, he says, but like those who are wise. And that right there is what's at the core of this whole series. It's what leads us to the ultimate question, which is this right here. Here's the big question. What is the wise thing to do? What is the wise thing to do? Now, I know there might be some of you sitting here right now who are going, what? That's it? That's the important question? That's the ultimate question? Come on, are you serious? Well, you know what? I actually thought the same thing. First time I ever heard this question was years ago. I heard a pastor named Andy Stanley teach about this question, and I thought the same thing. In fact, he went on to write a book about it, which was phenomenal. It ended up being a real inspiration for the series. But here's the thing. Here's what you got to understand. To really understand the power behind this question, what is the wise thing to do? You really got to think for a second about the questions we tend to ask in our lives. I mean, think about this, all right? You're faced with a decision. What's one of the questions we ask? Here's one. Well, is there anything wrong with it? Right? Is there anything wrong with it? I mean, the assumption is, like, if there's not anything wrong with it, well, then it must be okay, right? I mean, if the Bible doesn't have a thou shalt not in front of it, well, then that must mean, and it must be safe to assume that, well, then thou shalt certainly do it if you wantest to. Is there anything wrong with it? Well, unfortunately, what happens is that question leads us to another question, which we don't necessarily verbalize, but we think about it, and it's this right here. How close can I get to the line between right and wrong without actually doing anything wrong? How close can I get to the line? You know what the Christian version of that question is? How close can I get to sin without actually sinning? How close can I get to the line? That's a question that every teenage boy asks in his dating career, right? How close can I get to the line? What can I get? Are everybody on a diet, right? Every person's ever been on a diet, right? How close can I get? What can I get away with and still be okay? Well, see, the problem with that question is then that question leads to another question, which is not just how close can I get to the line, but it's like how far over the line can I get and still get away with it? Right? How far over the line? How unethical, immoral, or insensitive can I be and still be okay and not suffer consequences? How fast can I drive without getting a speeding ticket? Moving right along. How far can I push this person without going too far? How much can I fudge on my taxes and still be okay? And the next thing we know, we go from, well, you know, is there anything wrong with it, to suddenly going, how in the world did I get myself into this mess? See, the bottom line is that you and I are faced with decisions every day of our lives. And sometimes those decisions are easy to make. Other times they're not. There are sometimes you can open up the Bible and say, well, let's see what the Bible has to say. And you can find scriptures that address it. Other times you can't, because there's some things the Bible doesn't specifically address. And so, see, that's why this question is such an important question. What is the wise thing to do? And see, if you think about it, you can ask that question literally of every decision you'll ever make in your entire life. You can use that question as a guide for every question you will ever, and every decision you're ever faced with. What is the wise thing to do? Well, today what I want to do is, as we begin this series, it's going to go for 4 weeks, and what I want to do today is I want to give you three angles by which you can approach this question. Three angles that will give us, I think, a unique perspective on decision making. And so I want to give you three things to write down. If you have a pen, take that pen out. And if you don't have a pen, just go ahead and reach into the purse, whoever's sitting closest to you, and maybe grab a mint if you want, or whatever. Some money out of there. We'll take up another offering at the end or whatever. I'm just kidding. Somebody like, is he serious? No. The first one has to do with this thing called our past. Everyone say past. Past. We all have a past, don't we? We all have a past of some sort. And here's sort of the tension I think we have to live with in our lives. On one hand, the scriptures constantly warn us or remind us that we really should not get hung up on our past. Yet on the other end of the spectrum, it's also true that if we don't pay attention to what got us into trouble yesterday, we'll probably end up in the same trouble tomorrow. right? If we don't learn from it, we'll probably make the same mistake over and over and over again. I love this quote. Someone once said, the only real mistake is the one from which we learn nothing. See, we all know that's true, don't we? I mean, I'll tell you what. Here's what I think. I think it is such a tragedy to go through something painful, to go through failure, to go through whatever you want to call it, and not learn something from it. To me, one of the ways that God begins to redeem the pain in our lives, one of the ways that God begins to redeem the mistakes we've made is by helping us to learn valuable lessons from them, and not just so that we can benefit from that and not make the same mistake, but so that we can help others. And so it's true that if we don't pay attention to what got us into trouble yesterday, man, we're probably going to end up in the same trouble tomorrow. And the truth is, we see that all the time, don't we? I mean, you know people, right, that make the same mistakes over and over and over. And it's like it's like a train wreck you're getting ready to watch occur, right? And you're sitting there going, no, you idiot. No, don't do it. Ah, they did it. Right? And you sit and you watch it. And I mean, it's horrible to see it happen. Now, we have a lot of singles here at the Orchard, more than I ever realized. We did a survey, and we have a lot of singles. So would all the singles just stand up? No, I'm totally kidding. Some of you would like me to do that because you want to check out the scenery, right? It's true. Calm down. We got a lot of singles, though, here, and oftentimes I'll meet a single person who has just come out of a really tough relationship, you know, or a relationship that didn't last or whatever it might be, and I'll hear this question over and over, and I think it's rhetorical. They don't really want me to answer it, but the question is always, Scott, why does it seem like every relationship ends up the same way? Why? Over and over again, every relationship ends up the same way. Well, do you really want my answer, or do you want me just to go, yeah, good question. Well, here's my answer. Maybe it's because they all started the same way. Maybe it's because they were all conducted the same way. See, what happens, I think, is we think that swapping the old out with the new is going to somehow, like, solve the problem. That we think that's going to guarantee a better solution. No. You know what that is? That's called insanity, my friend. Doing the same thing over and over and over again but expecting different results. That is insanity. It's about as ridiculous as someone, you know, who is getting too many speeding tickets. And they say, well, I'll tell you what I got to do. I got to get a new car. I got to get a new car, man. No. No, what you need is to make some adjustments in the way you're driving your car. See, bad relational habits don't get fixed by simply starting new ones. I mean, wouldn't it be great if it was that easy, right? And so one of the ways we can ask this question, this is what I want you to write down. First one right here, okay? In light of my past experiences, what is the wise thing to do? In light of my past experiences, what is the wise thing to do? Now, of course, since all of us have a different history, we all have a unique backgrounds, unique story and all of that, the answer to that question is going to be a little bit different for all of us. When I was a kid growing up in church, we used to have this organization that would come in called Teen Challenge. Have any of you ever heard of Teen Challenge? It's a great organization, and they help men and women with drug and alcohol addiction. Back at that time, I think it was just men that they helped, and they realized that women need a lot of help, so now they started helping the women. No, I'm kidding. Joking. But here's what was interesting is they would come in and they would do like a concert or, you know, and they would share their story, and it was really impacting. And one of the things I noticed is that because of their past, this group of individuals would live by a very strict code. Like they would have very black and white, strict, like legalistic, very clear boundaries. You're going to have devotions every day for this amount of time, and you're going to wake up every day at this time. You're going to go to bed at this time. And I'll tell you, this was good for them. This was necessary for them. Okay, I mean the wise thing for them, based on their past experiences, was to have to live that way. Well, see, the problem comes in when a person tries to enforce that same standard and what's wise for them on everybody else. Because here's the thing, okay, because what's a temptation to you, what may tempt you, may not tempt me. All right? What may be safe for you may not be safe for me. or for someone else. And you know, at the same time, our past experiences really do make a difference in our lives, don't they? I mean, our past experiences, they predispose us to certain strengths and weaknesses in our lives. You know, I mean, for example, if someone has a if they have a tendency to be highly addictive, well, it may not be the wise thing for them to go to Vegas with their life savings in their back pocket, right? All right, or how about this? If every Friday night you go out with the same group of people and you go to the same place, and every Saturday morning you find yourself waking up in somebody's bed that you don't remember getting into, well, then I would say that this would be a great question for you to ask. In light of my past experiences, in light of my history, what is the wise thing? That'd be a great question for you to ask next Thursday at 5, or next Friday at 5 o'clock when you're thinking about going out. Where should I go? Well, in light of my past experience, what is the wise thing to do? Are you tracking with me? Got some party animals in here, huh? In light of my past experiences, what is the wise thing? See, imagine for a second if you were intentional about measuring every decision in your life, every invitation, every opportunity, through this filter, through this question, in light of my past experience, what is the wise thing to do? See, here's what that could mean. That could mean that there's just places you don't go. I mean, that could mean that there are just some people that you just shouldn't be hanging out with, because every time you get around them, they bring out the worst in you. Or they have, like, you know, it's almost like it triggers something unhealthy in you. You know, it could mean making a change in your everyday life. Maybe in the way if you have a history of spending a lot of money and getting into debt, using credit cards too much, then that could mean that you need to stop spending or stop going shopping with your girlfriend Monday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday every week. Right? Or maybe it's watching TV. If you got any TV addiction, hey, shut the TV off, right? Or get rid of the TV, but don't tell me I can't have mine, because I got to watch my shows, okay? 24, Lost, okay? I mean, there's some things that are very important, but anyway, that's besides the point. Any Lost fans in here, by the way? Oh, wow, you guys are much more spiritual than the last group, because at 9 o'clock, there were like 5 people that raised their hand. Can we just talk about Lost for a second? Because I am completely... That show's not easy for a guy with ADD, let me just tell you, all right? Anyway, it's definitely, it's appropriately named, isn't it? You know, maybe for some, you know, it's something happened in your life you had no control over. Maybe it was the way you were raised, and you're sort of predisposed towards certain temptations that most other people seem immune to. See, this is just, it's an important question to ask, regardless of how or where or why you have the history or the tendencies you have. In light of your past experiences, what is the wise thing to do? What is the wise thing to do financially? What is the wise thing to do relationally? What is the wise thing to do professionally? Well, of course, our past isn't the only consideration that we should consider when it comes to making decisions. I think we also have to consider where we're currently at. I think we got to think about where we're at right now. And so the second angle, and I want you to write this one down, the second angle you can approach this question from is right here. In light of my current circumstances, what is the wise thing to do? In light of my current circumstances, what is the wise thing to do? In light of my current emotional state, in light of my recent mistakes, in light of whatever I've just been through in my life, in light of my current circumstances, what is the wise thing to do? Let me give you an example of why this is an important question. I received an email one time from a gentleman whose girlfriend was livid. Oh, she was ticked off. And the reason she was so mad was because he friended his ex-girlfriend on Facebook. And he emailed me, he said, "Man, she's mad. Woo!" And so here's what his question was to me. "Scott, is there anything wrong with being friends with your ex-girlfriend on Facebook?" Now see, there's no way that I can win in that situation. No possible way, right? Uh-uh. No, so you know what? Here's what I said. I said, "Well, I think you're asking the wrong question. I don't think the question is there anything wrong with being friends with your ex-girlfriend. I think the question ought to be, well, it ought to be a lot of things in light of where the relationship is at, in light of where your girlfriend is at, in light of what may have occurred between you and your ex-girlfriend, in light of where you're at, in light of the current health of the relationship, or whatever it might be. In light of all of these things, what is the wise thing to do? Imagine, listen, sometimes it's not just a matter of sort of being right or wrong. I mean, it can be okay to do it, but it may be the stupidest thing in the world for you to do. Just because you can doesn't mean you should. Okay, just because it's not immoral or illegal or unethical doesn't mean it's the wise thing to do. And see, here's the other thing I think it's important to realize is that what was wise yesterday may not be wise for where you're at in life today. Just because you got away with it when you were 12 doesn't mean it's okay to do it when you're 20 or when you're 30 and have three children. What's wise now may not be wise tomorrow. See, here's the thing. Life is seasonal, isn't it? Life is a journey. You change. Your circumstances change. Your experiences of life change. So does the way you make decisions, okay? Now, let me talk about this for a second in context of something that I know many of you can relate to, and that is divorce and remarriage. Now, I have to say that I am extremely fortunate. Both my wife and I, neither one of us come from families where there was divorce, which I know is like we're more and more in the minority there, aren't we? But if you've ever been through a divorce or your parents were ever, you know that divorce is extremely painful. I mean, I've walked so many families and couples through this. Divorce is painful. I mean, no one plans to get a divorce, do they? I mean, no one plans when they first get married to get a divorce. And yet one of the things I see over and over and over again as a pastor is how oftentimes before the ink is even dry on the divorce papers, a person is already in a new relationship. Or maybe they're not in a relationship, but they are already in pursuit of another person before the ink is even dry on the divorce papers. And see, here's the thing. I know that I don't want to stand up here and say, like, shame on you. I'm not interested in that. Because here's the thing. If it were me, who knows? It would be possible I would do the exact same thing. And I know some of you sitting here right now, you're angry at me right now for saying that, but you might be saying, well, Scott, are you saying that desiring companionship is wrong? Are you saying that wanting to move on with my life is bad? No, I'm not saying that. That's all right, and that's all good, but that's not the point. That's not the issue. The issue is, in light of what you just went through, in light of your current emotional chaotic state, right? In light of the pain that you're feeling in your life, in light of all of these different things, what is the wise thing to do? Heck, you know what? If you don't want to ask it for yourself, at least ask it for the sake of your children. In light of our kids, in light of them, what is the wise thing to do? In light of what they've just been through, what is the wise thing to do? See, here's my opinion, okay? Now, this is not Bible. This is just Scott Hodge's opinion, okay? My opinion is, like, the best thing you could do if a person who's just been through a divorce can do is pull out their calendar, mark a notation on a date 1 year from now, and in the next year, don't think about or even form an opinion on remarriage until you get to that date a year later. Now, is that from the Bible? Nope. Is that extreme? It might be. But I'll tell you what, I've never heard of anyone attributing their marriage problems to the fact that they waited too long to get married. No, but I'll tell you what, I have known couple after couple after couple who wish they had waited a bit longer. You guys mad at me? You're angry? It's okay. I love you. Who's going to tell you this stuff, huh? Who's going to tell you? Oprah? Listen, she's all about the cha-ching, right? I'm sure she does some good things, whatever. But Jerry Springer? Look, my goal is to try to keep you out of the show, Jerry Springer, all right? What if that became our mission here, right? Keeping people away from Jerry Springer show. I actually saw someone I knew one time on Jerry Springer, I swear. I couldn't believe it. I hit the DVR and I recorded. I said, what is he doing? I can't believe this. Ah. Don't worry, it's not a current friend, okay? Anyway. So here's the thing, whether it's in the area of finances, of relationships, of parenting. I mean, these are things to take into consideration, okay? In light of my frame of mind, in light of my emotional state, in light of my physical state, my responsibilities, my commitments, what is the wise thing to do? Remember, listen, what's foolish today, hey, it may be prudent tomorrow. What was okay yesterday may not be okay today. Let me give you the third one, all right? The third angle that we have to ask this question has to do with your future. Now, no, not yet, not yet. Take that away. There we go. You know, I got eyes in the back of my head. Isn't that amazing? If I were to ask you, tell me where you want to be at in 10 years. Chances are you could actually probably paint some kind of picture. Maybe if I said, think about as a parent where you want to be in 10 years, or financially where you want to be, or in your marriage, or in your career, chances are you could probably tell me something. Maybe it's vague. Maybe it's like a snapshot. You may not have a plan for how you're going to do it, but you could probably tell me something. I mean, most of us have some sort of mental picture in our minds of how we want the future to play out or look. Again, may not have a plan, but we have some kind of picture. But let's be honest, okay? Most people's dreams and images of where they want to be don't happen. Nope. They don't come to pass. And sure, you know what? Sometimes it's due to things that are completely outside of their control. But I'll tell you what. Oftentimes, I think it's the result of our own decisions that impact our future in ways that we hadn't thought of. And so what happens is, like, we make decisions without the end in mind, okay? And see, that's why, listen, making decisions with the end in mind is a huge step in getting there. There will always be things that are out of your control that happen, but it will certainly help to make decisions with the end in mind. Listen, here's another way of saying it. Today's decisions need to be evaluated in light of how they will impact and shape us tomorrow. I'm gonna say that again, because that was dang good, all right? Today's decisions need to be evaluated in light of how they will impact and shape us tomorrow. Perfect example, some of you should be writing these down right now and you're not, and you're gonna wish you had a week from now. Anyway, so here's the last angle. Here's the last way to ask this question. Write this down. All of a sudden there's a lot of movement in the room. All right, in light of my future hopes and dreams, what is the wise thing to do? Think about it. In light of my future hopes and dreams, what is the wise thing to do? Think about it. This is huge, okay? Here's why. Okay, the health of your marriage tomorrow will be determined by the decisions you make today. Are you with me? The type of relationship you have with your children once they're grown and out of the home, okay, has a great deal to do with the decisions you make today in regards to your parenting. All right? The influence that you hope to have one day as a leader has a great deal to do with the decisions you make right now as a student, as an employee, or whatever it is you do. In light of my future hopes and dreams, what is the wise thing to do? Now, we're going to dive into this next weekend. You won't want to miss this. But just for a moment, I want you to think about this just in a very practical way, in a very practical sense of everyday life. Okay, here's one way you could ask this question. In light of where you want to be financially in 10 years, what is the wise thing to do right now? Those of you who are single and you have the dream of one day being married, okay, what is the wise way to conduct your relationships right now? All right, those of you who are in your 20s and you want to make a difference in this world one day, and there's something that's pounding in your heart when you start thinking about the potential you have and you want to put a big dent in planet Earth and you hope to be known as a person of character and a person of integrity when you're in your 40s and in your 50s, well, ask yourself, okay, before you Twitter or before you Facebook or before you blog that stupid remark that will be there forever, or before you put the pictures of yourself acting like a complete idiot on Facebook, okay, ask yourself, what is the wise thing to do? Now, I see some of your Facebooks, okay? Some of you befriended me on Facebook, and you made the big mistake because I see the photos. I see the clothes some of you wear on Friday nights and Saturday nights. Woo! my friend count is going to go down now. And I have records, so I will know who defriended me. Listen, that stuff's out there forever. Thank God Twitter wasn't around when I was 18. That's all I can say. Thank God. I mean, sometimes I say stupid stuff now on Twitter. My wife lets me know. Listen, think about the future, guys. Think about how what you do now can impact your future. In light of my future hopes and dreams, what is the wise thing to do? Now, here's a couple questions to chew on. What are you doing right now in your life that has the potential to rob you of a future dream? What are you doing right now that has the potential to rob you of your future dream? Maybe you recently made a decision, and sitting here right now, you know that that was not the right decision to make. Maybe you're dabbling in sin right now. Get some help. What are you doing right now that has the potential to rob you of your future dream? Listen, whatever it is it worth it? Is it worth it? Where do you need to reprioritize? That's a big one. We'll talk about that next weekend. What disciplines or practices need to become a part of your reality right now? Maybe for some of you, it's spiritual practices. You need to get some spiritual practices developed in your life. Maybe for others of you, it's physical discipline, and you need to get serious about getting yourself taken care of physically. See, what decisions do you need to make now that will help you become who you want to be in the future, okay? How about this? How about emotional health? How are you doing emotionally? Can I just tell you, let's just talk about this for a second, okay? Emotional health is so important. Don't think that you can separate emotional health from spiritual health. Okay, let me say that again. Don't think that you can separate your emotional health from your spiritual health, okay? If you need help emotionally, if you've been through something and you have pain in your life, which almost all of us do, man, get that stuff. Deal with it now. Because if you don't deal with it, it'll leak out in all kinds of funky ways in your life. And it will end up not only impacting you, but it will impact others around you. It will hurt other people around you. So deal with it now. Otherwise, it will become a lid on your life, and it will limit you from ever going anywhere that you dream of going. Deal with it now. And if you need counseling, don't come to me because you don't want me to counsel you. You actually would need counseling after I counsel you. But we will help you find a good, solid Christian counselor. And we believe in counseling. I've had counseling, and it's one of the best things I've ever had in my life. And so some of you need counseling. Let us help you with that, okay? Here's the great thing about this question. What is the wise thing? See, this is a convicting question, isn't it? That's why it's quiet like a Methodist church in here. Because this is some convicting stuff. Not a lot of, yeah, glory, amen, woo. No. You can smile once in a while, though, because I can see you. We bring the lights back down. But see, here's the beauty of this question. What is the wise thing to do? Okay, the scriptures tell us that if you and I need wisdom, all we got to do is ask God for it. That's it. Listen how James says it, James 1:5. If you need wisdom, ask our generous God, and he will give it to you. And I love this next line. He will not rebuke you for asking. If you need wisdom, ask our generous God, and he will give it to you. He will not rebuke you for asking. In other words, you can ask him for wisdom, and you can ask him with confidence. Even though you may not feel like you deserve it from him, even though you may feel like, well, Scott, I haven't kept up my end of the deal, and I haven't loved God back like he loves me, or I don't feel worthy, or you don't understand what I've done. Listen, shut up. None of that matters. It doesn't matter. It only matters to you. You're the only one that's hung up on it. Maybe others who've been hurt in the process are also got to deal with that as well. But God is not hung up on your sins. God is not hung up on the fact that you haven't kept up your end of the bargain. No. God is ready and willing to fill you with his wisdom. All you have to do is ask him for it. That's it. It's all you have to do. And I'll tell you, let me also say this, that sometimes God's way of giving us wisdom is by surrounding us with wise people. I'll tell you, for me, that got very seldom, never has it happened, that God, with an audible voice, just tells me what to do. And I'll tell you, there is hardly a time in my life that I make solo decisions. You know, you've heard me talk about before here at the church, we have a great team. I've got a great team around me of elders, and they surround me and are able to give advice and wisdom and all of that. You know, here's what I think. I think all of us need a personal board of directors in our lives. I think we all need a group of people around us who will speak wisdom and truth into our lives. You need someone around you who will ask you the hard questions. You need someone around you that you can bounce things off of. Listen, don't try to do it on your own. Don't try to navigate through the challenges of decision-making on your own. Bring people around you. The Bible says in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. And I'm not talking about people who don't care about you or people who you don't trust. I'm talking about people you trust, people you know they love you, they know your heart, and they want what's best for you. Those are the kind of people. Get good people around you. That's one of the ways that God gives us his wisdom. So here's what we're going to do before we go. We're going to take just a minute and pray. And we're going to do exactly what James says. We're going to pray. We're going to ask God for wisdom. I think this is a great way to start this series. And so I'm going to ask you, if you would, just go ahead and bow your heads for just a moment. And we're going to take a minute or two before we pray. And I just want us to get quiet, because you may not do this. If you leave here today, you're going to get in the car with your kids, and they're going to, you know, be kids, and you're going to just go on with your day. But I think we could just, if we could just take a minute or two and just get quiet and create just some space for just unfiltered thinking. So here's what I want you to do. Just clear your mind right now of whatever you're thinking about. Don't be thinking about the Chinese buffet you're going to go to right now in a few minutes. Just clear all that out, okay? And I want you to think about your life in the context of these three questions. And I want you, as you evaluate where you're at financially, relationally, spiritually, morally, professionally, whatever it is, I want you to think about what you would do differently in each of these areas if you were to embrace this question, the ultimate question: what is the wise thing to do? Just think about this for a minute or two, okay? In light of my past experiences, my current circumstances, and future hopes and dreams, what is the wise thing to do? What are you facing right now? What kind of decisions? What is the wise thing to do financially based on your past, based on your present, based on what you hope for the future? What's the wise thing to do relationally, morally, professionally, spiritually? Just take a moment. Just think about that. Just get honest. Don't ask this for your husband or your wife. This is about you. This is a question for you to ask yourself. Now, there's three things, and just keep your heads down for just a moment. There's three things I want to challenge you to do this week. First of all, I want to challenge you to be here over these next 3 weeks. And I'll tell you, this isn't easy stuff. This is challenging stuff. So if you're just interested in just going to church to feel good, this probably isn't going to be the series for you to come to. But if you seriously, seriously want God to transform the way you make decisions in your life, I think that's most of us. If that's what you want, I want to encourage you to do whatever you have to do to be here these next 3 weeks. Secondly, I want you to take some of the questions we talked about today. I want you to chew on them. I want you to wrestle with them. I hope some of you are walking out mad at me today, because you're gonna think about this stuff and you're gonna chew on these questions. But I want you to let God deal with you and work in your heart. So chew on these questions. In light of my past experiences, in light of my current circumstances, in light of my future hopes and dreams, what is the wise thing to do financially? What is the wise thing to do relationally, morally, professionally, spiritually? And then third, we're going to take time right now, and we're going to pray. and we're going to ask God to fill us with his wisdom. James 1:5, if you need wisdom, ask our generous God. He will give it to you. He will not rebuke you for asking. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to pray, first of all, that God would fill us with wisdom, but then we're going to pray for the person to the left of us, to the person to the right of us, and you're not going to have to ask them their name. You're not even going to talk to them. You're just going to pray. God knows who they are. And so I think a big part of God working in your life is for you to think about others and to pray for others. So it doesn't matter where you're at in your spiritual journey. Maybe you've never prayed to God except when you're angry before. And so today, maybe it's your first time seriously praying to God. It's okay. And so let's begin with ourselves. And I just want you in your own way, between you and your Creator who loves you so much, I want you just to reach out to him right now and just between you and him, ask him to fill you with his wisdom. God, we lay ourselves at your feet. And we hear the words of the Apostle Paul, be careful how you live. Don't live like fools, but like those who are wise. And God, we really need your wisdom. And God, there are some here today, and they so needed to hear this. And there's others who they may not even know it, but they're going to be faced with some decisions this week. And they so needed to hear this. They may not even realize it right now, but they needed to hear it. And so my prayer, Heavenly Father, is that you would fill us with your wisdom. And that you would fill us with the kind of thinking that makes us more and more like you. And so now we pray for the person to the left of us. And just in your own way right now, pray for that person to the left of you. And pray the same thing. God, fill that person with your wisdom. And we pray the same thing for the person on the other side of us right now. I just pray for them as well. God, we pray for that individual. You know who they are. We pray that you would fill them with your wisdom. And God, for all of us, I pray this. I pray that not only would you fill us with your wisdom, not only would we hear your voice in our lives, but God, I pray that you would also give us the courage, that you would give us the guts, the faith to obey you and to take those steps of faith. And there may be some here today that they've just clearly heard from you and they've got some tough decisions they got to make and they've got some steps they need to take in their life. And I know, God, that it might seem scary to them. They might be afraid right now. So we as a community, we gather around those people right now. And we pray that you would fill them with courage, Lord. And we pray that they would not allow the fear of it or the concern of how someone may react or whatever it might be to keep them from making this decision, God, that's going to catapult them in their life in a positive direction. So I pray, we pray for them now. We thank you for your courage. God, we thank you for the series. God, I can only imagine that in the days ahead, I can only imagine what these kind of questions, what they would do to our families and what they would do to transform the way we parent, the way that we handle our finances, the way that we lead our organizations, our businesses, whatever it might be. God, I just trust and believe, God, that these questions are going to do something really amazing in our hearts. We want that. We hope that. We pray that now. And we ask that together as a community of broken people who are in desperate need of you. And everyone said together, amen.